Now that photograph there, oh, that's a little loud, isn't it?
Yep.
That photograph there is not one from the Pacific Islands or anywhere tropical like that. That is the view as one is lying on one's stomach at the holiday place that we've been at, Potiri Beach. It was just pretty much every single day was like that. We had a wonderful camping holiday. So I just want to share that with you. Although it looks a little bit in opposition to the words never and always. But hopefully we'll bring some understanding to that. Before we begin, can we pray? Lord, we've sung the songs that we've sung this morning intentionally. We gather together this morning intentionally. And we come around your word this morning intentionally. To lean into you, to lean into your goodness, to lean into your faithfulness and your kindness and your strength and your protection, your mercy and your grace. And I pray that as we in this time lean our ear to the word, I pray that our hearts would be open to receive what each one of us needs to hear this morning, that we may be encouraged and spurred on in our life with you. To you be the glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, never and always. They are two really powerful words, whether they're used negatively or whether they're used positively. They can either bring life and hope, or they can bring harm and shame. As a child growing up, I seemed to throw around the words never and always a lot, and not in a positive way. I was one of those children that I can recall embarrassingly whining to my parents, "You never let me stay up late. You never let me go to the dairy on my own." And then worst of all, "You never believe me." And that would always be in regard to these discussions or these stashes that I would have with my brother. They never believed that I was the innocent one. They always believed my brother, or so it seemed. In fact, they always let my brother do the things that I couldn't do and go to places that I wasn't allowed to go to. There were 3 years between us. However, I never thought that that should have any bearing on what he could do and what I could do. And then, in all fairness, looking back, I totally understand why my parents never let me go to the dairy on my own, and they would never let me do some of the things that my brother was doing. But at that age and stage, I had no understanding. Being the youngest, I always thought I was pretty hard done by. And my negative never and my accusatory always statements seemed to be like stones that I would hurl at my mum and dad in frustration and disappointment. Interestingly, last week while we were camping, where tent walls are very thin and shower cubicles are open to the rafters, it makes eavesdropping conversations something way too easy. While I'd been pondering over this message and what my personal nevers and always were and possibly are still, I happened to hear a mother and daughter talk, and they were showering at the time. The daughter says, "I love having my hair washed. I love the silky feeling of my hair afterwards." And I smile thinking, never has any of our children ever said that they loved to have their hair washed. Then the little girl said, "Mummy, you never let me wash my own hair." My ears pricked up. To which the mother explained lovingly and intelligently why she never did. And then the girl said, "Please, can I do it?" Now the mother obviously thought, oh well, who knows what she thought, but she said, "Yeah, sure, why not?" And so I held my breath waiting until the obligatory, oh, I've got soap in my eyes. And mum's kind of going, there, there, you know, trying to, because it's all out there, everyone can hear it, to kind of try and make things right. There is good reason for a never, sometimes. For some of us, those words never and always might seem to disappear from our vocabulary as we grow up, that we might say, you never, you always, or they might not. For some of us, we may find that other people speak negative nevers and accusatory always at us. You'll never grow up. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never learn, will you? You'll never change. You'll never be smart enough, fast enough, quiet enough. You add your own words there. You always forget. You always think the worst. Why do you always do that? You're always selfish. And the list can go on. Maybe people don't necessarily say those particular words, yet the words that they do say is actually how we end up receiving them in our spirit. And so possibly it begins this internal dialogue which plays in our minds. I'm never going to be smart enough, fast enough. I'm never going to change. I'm never going to be enough. I'll never be loved. I'll never be free of whatever it might be. I'll always be this way. I'll never change. And even while we may not say these things out loud, they can run around inside of our head, even without us fully being aware of them or the impact that they might have on us. Now, these words, never and always, can have a big impact on our lives. And they can be like stones. They can be like a really big stone for some of us that we kind of carry on our back, that weighs us down, and we kind of end up walking with a stoop. Or it might be just like a little pebble in our shoe that makes us kind of walk a little awkwardly. These words are very powerful. Powerful when we speak these words about ourselves, I will never. Or when we say these words to other people, you will never. You always. And when it becomes to being followers of Jesus, living in the kingdom way, into the beautiful way that Jesus invites us to live and to walk in, we may find ourselves still burdened by the negative nevers and the accusatory always. I'll never overcome this fear. I'll never be good enough. We're not the only ones who experience this. Think of Moses. His story, this particular part of the story, is found in Exodus 2 through to 4:17. Now Moses, he knew he wasn't an Egyptian, but a Hebrew by birth, yet found himself by the favor of God living as one in a palace, while his fellow Israelites were being terribly oppressed and mistreated. Yet one day, when he thought he was doing right by his people, the Israelites, he ends up making a huge mistake, killing an Egyptian. And what he thought was done on the down low was soon known by everyone. And in the end, he was having to run for his life into the desert, from the palace to the desert. Can you imagine what his internal dialogue might be doing, might be going? I always muck things up. I'll never be forgotten for this. My life will never be the same. Yet it's interesting that it's in this desert place that he encounters the holy and the powerful and the living God, who basically wants him to go back to Egypt, to go back to Pharaoh, asking him to release the Israelite people and to let them go. The internal dialogue of Moses was such that he says to God, who am I? I have never been eloquent with words. And very politely, because he says, pardon me, my Lord, about two or three times, he then suggests to God, almighty, powerful God, that he should send someone else. And I wonder if sometimes we find ourselves in a similar situation. I wonder how many times do we discount ourselves in life and in our life with God because of our never or because of our always. I could never do what God asks of me. I could never do something for God because I'm too scared, I'm too shy, I'm ill-equipped, I'm not smart enough, I'm too old, I'm too young, because of my past, because of fill in the blank. Or our always. I always make mistakes. I always stuff things up. I always make wrong choices. I always give up. And I never see things through. Those always and those nevers can become a burden and a barrier to us moving on well with God. So what do we do with those always and nevers? Those burdens that can make life so incredibly difficult. Well, Peter helps us here. Because Peter says, cast all your anxiety, and then I've added all your nevers and always on him, onto Jesus, because he cares for you. You know, we need to take off those words, take off the weight, take off the burden of those words and the effect that they have had, and casting them on to Jesus, if you can, placing them at the foot of the cross. And then what happens is that we need to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ because of what Jesus has done for us. And not to just remind ourselves, but to live into the truth of who we are in him and because of him. Because it's living in the truth that sets us free. And that is how we overcome those negative nevers and those accusatory always. In him, we are a new creation. The old has gone and the new is being formed and transformed within us as we work together with him to become like him. And this is a continuing work of the Father's love in our lives through the Holy Spirit, that we can be confident because he who began a good work in us will carry it out to completion until the day that Christ Jesus returns. We do not need to carry the burden of the never and the always. Now, I said at the beginning that that the words never and always are very powerful, that they can bring harm and shame, but they can also bring life and hope. We no doubt have seen the effects on other people's lives of the weight of the shame, but here we're going to see what happens when these words bring life and hope. And we can read these in the scriptures. Deuteronomy 31, 6 to 8. And I know that in my times of heaviness, in my times of burden, these scriptures have been the ones that I have held onto. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. Never will he leave you nor forsake you. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And then in Isaiah 43, verse 2, while there's not the never or the always, it beautifully says about God's presence. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And then Jesus says, the last thing that he says to his disciples before he ascends to his Father, and surely I am always with you to the very end of the age. Such wonderful promises, such wonderful truths for us to hold on to and to walk and live into. Now, what was it that caused Moses to be successful in the end? It wasn't his eloquence. It wasn't all the things that he kind of put up and said that he couldn't do. What it was that he trusted, in the trust that he had in God, that God was with him and that God would not give up on him. In fact, Moses said to God, I'm not going anywhere unless you come with me. Because he knew the power of God's presence, of God's never-ending presence, even if others didn't. He knew it was necessary for himself personally, but also for the fulfillment of the promise for Israel. And then the true is same for it, for us, knowing and believing deep within us that God will never leave us and that he never gives up on us and that he is always with us, gives us a firm and sure foundation from which we can walk, having cast our never and our always on him. It's his presence and his power, his never and his always, that empowers us to walk free of the negative nevers and the accusatory always. This is not a very powerful example, but it seems silly to share, but I always struggle getting into the sea. Does anybody else have a problem with getting into the sea? Everybody else can just dive in and it's okay. Thank you, Minica. Okay, so Minica will understand this. Every year, we go for a week to on camping holiday, and it's beautiful. Sometimes I will only get in once because I always find it really hard to get in. I am one of those, you know, I'm embarrassed. Oh, 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 oh. You know, I'm kind of like this and scream if the wave comes in. And I do have a friend who does the same kind of thing. So we scream and we make a little bit of a performance at the same time. But more often than not, I might get to my knees and then I'll go back in and sit down because just that getting in is too difficult. And it does make a difference. It's very hot on the beach. And this year was kind of like, okay, I always do that. And I never get in, you know. It's interesting, it just kind of rose up. I was like, okay, this year is going to be different. I'm not going to be held back by my never, you know, watching everyone else swimming in the sea and I'm sitting on the beach roasting hot. So this year, that's what I did. And I was determined not to make a song and dance of it. And so I, you know... very carefully. I'd often be the first one to get in because I just, you know, it had to be, and just this is great, you know, that kind of thing. But I got in, and I got in most days. I got in twice, you know, some days I got in three times, and oh, the joy of it. And I thought, man, that, or you know, I never go in, I always make this thing. And it's a very small thing, but I was able to overcome my fear. Yeah, and I talked to God about it. I didn't go deep into prayer about it, but it was just kind of like, oh, Lord, help me, please, 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 tell me, you know. Don't want to be held back anymore by those burdens that I've placed or have been placed upon me. You never, you always. I don't want that anymore for myself. And I don't want that for us. So as we come to communion, to the communion table, I'd like for us to pause for a moment to consider what our negative never and what our accusatory always might be, to be able to name it. That might be easy or it might be really difficult. You might struggle to only be able to find one, or you may struggle to find just one. The cross is a place of exchange. Christ laid down his life that we may take hold of our new life in him. It's a place that we can lay down our lives, releasing to Him our burdens and our pain, allowing Him to continue to form and transform our lives in Him. Now, when Peter said to cast our cares on Him, the casting would have brought to mind, for those who were living near the waters, the casting of a net. You know, they would throw the net out. Well, we have a net here today, a prayer net, which we're going to continue to use for the year coming up. Where we want to continue, where we want to encourage us as a community of faith to cast our prayer needs. And so for the purpose of this morning, as we come to receive communion, I'd like it if we could write down on the piece of paper in front of us a never or an always or a burden or a prayer need that we might have that we would like to give to God. And there are some pegs, and then you can peg it up here. Fold it up if you'd like. Now, how we're going to do this is the last time we came forward for communion, we started this side and we had this lovely, lovely process. Well, today we're going to start this side. I'm going to encourage you to come up and to write down here, to then come up and peg up here, to then come along here to take communion, to receive the emblems, and then to go back to your seats. And then when we're all together, when we've all finished that, then we will pray together. So, we're going to put some music on. And then Guy and Ray and Linda, if you guys can lead us off here. For some, that may have been easy. For others, that may have been an incredibly difficult and vulnerable thing to do. And I honour you in that. This is before God. Let's pray. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that this beautiful exchange takes place at this time of communion. We thank you that you receive our burdens. You receive our prayers of confession and our prayers of faith this morning. Strengthen us, we pray, to stop listening to the negative nevers and the accusing always, and to watch our tongue in what we say to ourselves and to others. We thank you for your faithfulness, that you will never leave us, that you will never give up on us, that you will always be with us. May we be empowered by the truth of your promises as we choose to walk in the light of them. And so we approach your throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find the grace to help us in our time of need. And as we hold these emblems, we remember you, Jesus. We remember your body, the life you lived, the body broken for us, the life that we receive now because of your sacrifice. And we drink this juice, the symbol of your blood given for the forgiveness of our sins, that we may have life to the full and life eternal. We give you thanks and praise and glory. Amen. Let's eat and drink together.